Hello again. We come to you with our Bible open to another precious passage that is found in the Word of God. On the broadcast last time, we were back in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Today, we're going to go once again to that same outstanding writing in the Old Testament, but this time to the 24th chapter. We mentioned to you on the broadcast last time that Joshua was the captain of the host who brought the children of Israel in battle after battle, and eventually was given the torch of leadership from the faltering hands of Moses and took the children of Israel literally across the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. It was this man Joshua that lived for 110 years, and incidentally one outstanding character that when you look at his life in the scripture, you find that it appears to be flawless. He was much like Joseph in Egypt. Now, they both lived to be 110 years old, but you remember they were both godly men. It would seem when we think of Joshua and when we think of Joseph along with other outstanding characters that they were men of their time who certainly stood approved in the sight of God. It reminded me of the story of Noah tucked away in Genesis, where Noah mentioned, of course, there that he was going to do the will of God by the things that he did. And at the time when God decided that he was going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, because of the sin that had filled the hearts and lives of men and women, he looked at Noah, and Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So this man Joshua did a tremendous job as a leader of God's people. From the taking of the city of Jericho, as well as overcoming the difficulty at Ai, throughout the various battles and overcoming the enemies, driving them out in the land of Canaan, which of course was to be the site for God's people Israel. As Joshua had reached the closing factor of his life, he finally realized there was a message that he must leave with the Israelite people. And we found an excerpt from that message, and no doubt you may have a plaque in your home today on the wall, maybe in a bedroom, maybe in a front room. One lady had it right in the kitchen where she could see it every day. It simply said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a wonderful statement offered by Joshua as he delivered what can be considered by many to be a farewell message to the legions of Israel. Let's read in your hearing on the broadcast now the 14th and 15th verses of this famous 24th chapter of Joshua. Make it a part of your reading this week. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then you might be interested in the reaction here of God's people. Verse 16. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord that brought them out of the land of Egypt," as it goes on. In fact, you may want to read the entire 24th chapter. But the interesting aspect here in this 24th chapter in verse 15 is found in really what is said here by Joshua as he begins the proposition to the Israelite people. Can you imagine a man who had the ability that he did in actually being able to offer a teaching here that would have this impact? I believe that we can, because he was a man who truly knew God. How does he begin it? In that 15th verse, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Who would say today that it's evil to serve the Lord? You know, this offers one of the teachings that I believe is one of the strongest arguments for Christianity that we have in the world today. Did you ever hear of anyone who had become a Christian, who had obeyed the gospel, and then who had turned from the Lord back into the world, who, being asked about the history of his religious life, simply said, "Well, the biggest mistake in my life was when I became a Christian"? You know, that's something to think about. If you couldn't find one person that would take that position, then that certainly must mean that it's right to serve the Lord. Even the individual who's forsaken him, even the individual who's turned his back upon the Lord, he won't say that that was the worst decision that I made in my life. But on the other side of the coin, how many people do you know who are in the world floundering around in sin today who would readily admit that this isn't the kind of life that I want to lead? You see, some people get so wrapped up in the society about them Some people get so wrapped up in riches that we're aware of the fact that these people actually are drowned, so to speak, and find themselves in a position where they feel so hopeless that they just won't turn to the Lord. But those people will never say, it was a bad thing, it was the worst thing I ever did to become a Christian. You know, I talked to a man some years ago that I thought was an outstanding preacher. The only thing that I must admit to you, and I believe he believed this to be the case, he was offering a doctrine that he didn't believe, and might I candidly say to you, a doctrine that would not stand up to the test of the gospel. And in a personal conversation that my wife and I had with him shortly after we were married, my wife simply asked him, well, if you know what the truth is, why don't you preach it and why don't you follow it? Now, she did this very kindly. And he held his head low for a while and then finally said, you know, I have ties in this life that are very strong. We later found out that his wife was so steeped in the social life of a religious denomination, his children had been educated according to that doctrine and were so wrapped up in it that it would seem that if this man actually left that doctrine, he actually would break up his family. Well, of course, I'm not going to tell you on the broadcast today what perhaps you think about this, but I believe that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So notice the proposition that Joshua makes here, if it seem evil to serve the Lord. Now, if you can come to the conclusion, you Israelites, that it's evil to serve the Lord, then make a choice. Now, really where the choice comes is not really in this verse between God and the idolatrous people. Where the choice comes is which idolatrous people are you going to follow? Notice, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now here's where the service is made, or the choice, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now what difference would this make? Whether they served the gods that were in Egypt, and the Egyptians worshipped about everything that you could think of, even down to the beetles and scarabs of the earth. They worshipped the sun, moon, and stars. They worshipped the cattle of the field. I said, you make a choice between a circumstance like that and the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You make your choice. But as for me and my Lord, we'll serve the Lord. Now, naturally, a person does make a choice between good and evil. But the point that is being brought out here that makes this such a precious passage is that if you turn your back on the Lord, it doesn't make any difference what you choose. You see, there's an interesting aspect. A lot of people in this life, it would seem, want to be religious. You know, I talked to a lady some years ago who said, well, I found to be true that everybody wants to be able to say that they're identified with a religious group. Now, probably that's making a little strong statement. But you see, a lot of people, if they said, well, I don't go to church any place, as the term is used, or I'm not aligned with anything religiously, some people would think that they were a heathen. Now, they might not really be a heathen. Maybe they might be better in their moral living than some people in the church. That's something to consider. But here's the point I'm making. If we have any desire in our life for the Lord that's genuine, it should certainly be because we know he has given us the opportunity to be made free from sin and to become one of his children. We could not in our life look at God and find that God is evil. We can only see that God is good. I saw a man stand at a blackboard one Sunday afternoon during an afternoon meeting of an all-day service in a rural congregation. And he put the word good on the board, and then he simply said, you know, you take nothing away from good when you actually think of God. And he erased one of the O's, one of the zeros, one of the O's out of the word good, and he had left God. So the point that I'm trying to emphasize, if you cannot think of any reason why you shouldn't serve the Lord, if you would think that it is evil to serve him, then it doesn't make any difference what course you follow. But keep this thought in mind, that whatever decision you make, there's going to be an ultimate end. Jesus made it very clear in the wonderful 14th chapter of John when he was announcing to his apostles that he was going to leave them. He reminded them in the 14th chapter and the 6th verse of John that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he simply said this, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now the only way we can truly come to God on this side of the cross is truly by Jesus Christ. In his wonderful teaching, he points out to us what the truth is. And as we have restated to you time and time again and will on this broadcast today, when you know that truth that can make you free, then act. Follow the way that he has designed, and it will lead you to life eternal. Well, the people said after Joshua made this statement, "As for me and my house will serve the Lord," they said, "God forbid that we should serve other gods." They remembered from the history of the people that God had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. But isn't it a terrible thing, in fact, it's insidious, to realize that only a short period of time after Joshua expired, after he had left them, with this message still ringing in their ears, that these people did turn their back upon God. The influence of the nations about them, the idolatrous people that they intermarried with, and that they seemed to have a certain fascination for the idols that were made, caused these people to turn their back upon Almighty God. No doubt when one had stopped to think about what his course had been. Can you picture an individual who had followed God faithfully at one time, and then he found himself in idolatry that heard once again in his ears the words of Joshua, "If it seem evil to serve the Lord, then choose whatever God you're going to serve. It really doesn't make any difference." And then the final crescendo, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." We hope that you will as an individual, that your whole house will. Let your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ help you into Christ today and help you to be strong in the Lord if you're a Christian. Be with us next time as we will finish the series entitled Precious Passages. May God bless us all that we obey his marvelous and wonderful truth.